Father, we thank you for this glorious morning. Thank you for the beautiful weather outside. Thank you for the joy of gathering with your people as we worship you and seek your face. Father, you know this weekend is a special weekend for this nation of ours, as we remember the nation's birthday. I think it's 247 years now. And Father, we thank you for the blessings you have shed on this land. We praise you for the good that has been done by the nation. We thank you for the missionaries that have gone out, shared the gospel around the world, the churches in the land. Father, we pray for our nation. As we look at what's happening around us, there are difficulties, there are trials, there are assaults on the land, there are changes that people are trying to make. And we pray for wisdom as your people to respond to these things in a biblical way. Help us to promote righteousness and to proclaim the gospel loudly and clearly across the land, in love and mercy and grace, just as you have done it to us. Father, we praise you for Jesus, our Savior. Thank you that he is our giver of liberty. He has set us free from sin and from bondage and given us eternal life. And we pray that as we continue in this hour together, he will be honored and glorified. This is the first Sunday of the month, so we have the Lord's Supper together. And we thank you for that as we remember his sacrifice at Calvary, the giving of his life, the shedding of his blood that day to pay the price for the sins of all of us. And Father, we thank you that for all those who trust in him, they are forgiven and given that eternal life and filled with your Spirit to walk with you in this life and then be taken to glory. We thank you that we have that message to share, and we pray that that will be clear in this hour as well. Father, bless this time. May your Spirit move and work in each heart and life and accomplish what you desire, what each of us needs. You know what we need. And we pray that you would meet those needs today during this time together. And we give you thanks and praise for all these things and commit this to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated.
We're going to be reading from Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40. Beginning at verse 1. Comfort ye, my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem. Cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned. For she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. The voice said, Cry, and he said, What shall I cry? All flesh is grass, all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. O Zion that bringeth good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem, that bringest good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength, lift it up, be not afraid, say unto the cities of Judah, Behold your God. Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. And behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. Let's have a word of prayer together. Father, we thank you so much this morning for this opportunity to be in your house once again. We ask your blessings on each one who is here, that we might receive something that will encourage us and help us and strengthen us, that you might meet the need, spiritual need of every heart here. We pray for those who may be ill today, that you would touch them and strengthen them, encourage them, bless in every way. We just thank you so much for all the fellowship that we can have together. We think of last night. Thank you for that opportunity. And we pray your blessings upon us during this holiday season, the time of independence for our nation. We just thank you that we are a free people and that we can proclaim your word without fear, knowing that you are always you're always right in everything that you say. We thank you for your word. Speak to us, teach us, and help us in all that we do. We do pray, our Father, for our country today. We pray for all the leaders of our nation that they might do the right thing. Lord, we just thank you for those who are seeking the welfare of this nation. And we pray that each one of them will have the guidance to be able to do the right thing. Lord, we look to you, and we just thank you for every good and perfect gift. Lead us and guide us, help us and make us what we ought to be, for your glory and for your name's sake. Thank you so much for all your blessings. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's turn once again to Isaiah chapter 40. We're thinking about words of comfort for God's people, something that we all need from time to time. And here we find the prophet Isaiah is bringing this message to his people. You know, the book of Isaiah is like a miniature Bible. I think I might have mentioned this before. It has 66 chapters, like the Bible has 66 books. The first 39 chapters speak of God's judgment, similar to the Old Testament in our Bibles. The last 27 chapters speak of God's comfort and grace, much like the 27 books of the New Testament. This last section, which begins here in chapter 40, begins with the prediction about the ministry of John the Baptist and places a great emphasis upon the coming of Christ and salvation. Isaiah was writing to encourage his people not to fear their enemies, but to put captivity... No, I'm sorry. I skipped a line. But to put their trust in their all-powerful God. Although they would go into captivity because of their sin, the Lord had promised to deliver them and restore them to their place of blessing. So here we find this wonderful chapter, very poetic, very beautiful, written. Some people are saying, you know, it wasn't Isaiah, but the Bible says that it was, okay? And this, if you want to look with me, John chapter 12 and verse 37. Here we find the reference about this passage of Scripture. John chapter 12 and verse 37. Here we are. 12:37. But though he had done so many miracles among them, yet they believed not on him, that the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report, and to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore they could not believe, because that Isaiah said again, He has blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them. These things said Isaiah when he saw his glory and spake of him. So last week, I believe it was, we talked about the sixth chapter where Isaiah saw the vision of the Lord sitting upon his throne. And it says here that that was Jesus, right? And he also quotes here from the other part of Isaiah, chapter 53, and they're both ascribed to the same person to the prophet. So here we find a true prophecy. Isaiah has long since died at this particular time, but he wrote this previously, right? Obviously, before he died. Yes. Yes, he did. And anyway, we find here that it's the prophet Isaiah writing about his people to comfort them. And it's interesting to see these words of comfort. Judah was being held captive in Babylon. And her country had been destroyed. Everything was in ruins. God had punished his people because of their sins. But now the prophet breaks forth with a new message of forgiveness and pardon. The long night of slavery is past. The dawn of deliverance has come. And he said, to us, the Lord says, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ if we have placed our faith and trust in him for salvation. We're no longer at war with God. The peace treaty has been signed. Our sin has been pardoned through the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus upon the cross of Calvary. These are truly words of comfort to the believers. I believe it is anyway. There is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. So as we see here, words of comfort, a message of comfort that is needed. And notice what it says in Isaiah 40, verse 1. Comfort ye my people, saith your God. So the comfort is to come from whom? Ye, right? He's talking to the believers. He's talking to Isaiah. And he says, comfort my people. You know, we need that, don't we? A word of encouragement, a strengthening, a help along the way, you know. We have salvation. We've read that a moment ago. In Christ Jesus, we know where we're going. We know we have eternal life in him. But we need comfort as we go through life, right? The troubles that come, the trials, the heartaches, the sicknesses, and all of that, we need to strengthen one another. Comfort ye my people, saith your God. And over in 2 Corinthians 1, we see about God. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. I have it written down here so I won't have trouble finding it. It says, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. You see? God is the God of comfort. We are made in the image of God, so we are to comfort one another, right? That should be part of our makeup, is that we act like God and comfort each other, encourage one another, strengthen each other. Stop criticizing and complaining about everything and start to rejoice in the good things that God is doing, right? Encourage one another. And that's a good point to think about, I think. And so here we have this word of encouragement. He says in verse 2, talking about Jerusalem, of course, speak comfortably to Jerusalem. Cry to her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she has received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. All that she's already been through, this wonderful city of Jerusalem, the holy city of God, has been punished so much because of her sin. God does not tolerate sin. He might for a while, right? He did with them. How many times? Over and over again. You know, did Israel forsake God, follow after the other idols, and all of these things? And God says, no, now is the time. The warfare is over. All of this is behind us. Let's comfort one another, and God is going to comfort his people. And that's what we're looking forward to. You know, as we go through this life, we seek to have some comfort. God gives us so many blessings along the way, but we're still in the warfare, right? We're still in the warfare, and as long as we are in this life, we will have opposition. Jesus said, if they hated me, they'll hate you as well. And all of that. But we need to look to the Lord and find the strength and comfort that His Word gives to us. In 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 16, it says, now our Lord Jesus Christ Himself and God, even our Father, who has loved us, has given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace. Comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. Are you discouraged this morning? Do you have times when you feel down and everything seems to be going the wrong direction? Well, he says, comfort your hearts. Jesus has already provided for us. We have everlasting consolation and good hope through grace. So let's buck up and not be so discouraged. Huh? Look to Him and find the strength that we need. We find again that the Holy Spirit is called what? The Comforter, right? The Comforter has come upon us. John 14:16 says, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you. The original apostles had the Holy Spirit. He came, and Jesus says at some point he's going to come within you, and he did, right? On the day of Pentecost, he came, filled them all, and we today have the Holy Spirit living in us as the children of God. So God's servant was called to bring here the message of comfort to God's people, you know? And that's the point. The comfort is for God's people, those who love Him, those who are walking with Him, those who know Him. We can have the comfort that He affords, and we can rejoice in that. So Jerusalem here was addressed tenderly. We are to treat each other with that same kind of tenderness and love that we need. Now, the next day goes into the thing about John the Baptist, and this is very clear from the New Testament as well. It says, the voice of him that cries in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. You know, these are the words that John the Baptist applied to himself when he said he was a voice crying in the wilderness. And over in Luke chapter 2, we have here, verse 25, behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. The same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he up him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now let your servant depart in peace according to your word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. Then in Matthew 3, we find, it says, in those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. So it's very clear that this passage here is referring to John the Baptist, the forerunner of the Lord Jesus, and revealing to us what is going to happen. John was a desert prophet, of course. We all are familiar with him, who prepared the way for the Lord Jesus. Raising the valleys, here in verse 4, let's read that first. Every valley shall be exalted, every mountain and hill shall be made low, the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. So here John is the one going before Jesus to prepare the way for him to come. And raising the valleys, lowering the mountains, is a figure of speech, referring to smoothing out the way, making the roads passable, and to allow a dignitary to travel down the road, right? Make sure everything is ready. When a person of high class comes along, they have to have everything prepared for them. So John here is preparing for the Lord Jesus. And it says that the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. He came as the glorious Son of God, preparing the way. John was preparing the way for him. Came preaching repentance that they might turn to him and be saved. Let's look at verse 6. Then the voice said, cry. And he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass. All the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades, because the Spirit of the Lord blows upon it. Surely the people are grass. You know, yeah, I've noticed the beautiful flowers that come up. One day there they are in full bloom. You go by the next day and what do you see? All shriveled up, right? All gone. And that's the way it is with the things of this world. They come to pass. And says, he makes a point of this, the Spirit of the Lord is the one who is able to do all these things and to give us the victory that we need in our lives. And then he goes on here in, let's see, in verse 9, O Zion, that bringest good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem, that bringest good tidings, lift up your voice with strength, lift it up. Be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. So here we have the coming of Christ, the good tidings. Good tidings is the same as the gospel, right? The gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's the good tidings, the good news. And this was the message to be proclaimed throughout the land. Behold your God. Here he comes. And he came. John the Baptist announced him. And he came forth. And everyone was able to benefit from his messages and from his from the words that he would speak. And then, of course, he went to the cross and died for us. We'll commemorate that again this morning in the Lord's Supper, thinking of what Jesus did for us in saving us. He is our Lord and our Savior, the one who died for us that we might have everlasting life. He came as a shepherd, first of all. He says, he shall feed his flock like a shepherd, shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. The Lord Jesus, he said, I am the good shepherd, right? I give my life for the sheep. And he is our Savior, our Redeemer, and our God. We can rejoice in him. He is the shepherd of Israel, yes, but also the shepherd of all those who believe in him. He said, other sheep I have which are not of this fold, right? And we are his people. We are his fleet, his sheep, excuse me. Matthew Henry speaks of the Lord's tender care for his own. In these words, he says, he will gather them when they wander, gather them up when they fall, gather them together when they are dispersed, and gather them home to himself at last. And all this with his own arm, out of which none shall be able to pluck them. You know? He says, no man can take them out of my hand. And so we can rejoice in that, and we can be consoled and have comfort through that. So may God give us the courage to go on and to serve him and to do all that he wants us to do as we come to the time when we're going to partake of the Lord's Supper. We want to rejoice in all that. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for your precious word to our hearts today. We ask you to bless it and strengthen us, encourage us. May we not have doubts and fears, our Father, but put all of our faith and confidence in you, knowing that you have redeemed us by the precious blood of Jesus as he shed it on the cross of Calvary. So we thank you for that and pray your holy will be done in everything that we do. Forgive us of our sins, cleanse us of all unrighteousness, and make us what we ought to be. For Jesus' sake we pray. Amen. All right, let's see.